seated. You weren't fun in high school, were you? That was an exchange of words between two individuals. Person A putting person B's words into perspective. You're trying to push a point here. You just weren't fun in high school, were you? In this context, it generated a lot of laughs, and actually in our family has become a running joke about something. Oh, you just weren't fun in high school, were you? Now, that may sound very odd to say, but that's a term that comes to mind when I think of the prophetic voice. As I said last week, honestly, I've often struggled over the years with the prophetic voice as to what exactly is being said. How I can hear it as being very harsh for the sake of being mean, for being the sake of being mean, versus just being harsh because you need to hear some hard things. But like I'm being mean to you, and I enjoy being mean to you. I hear it like that. And I had to remind myself, as I said last week, that remember, the prophetic word comes from context of relationship. God's relationship with God's people. The classic, if I didn't love you, I wouldn't correct you. Also a reminder that behind every negative word said are two positive principles: to provide and to protect. That the goal is correction for good, so that one may act more in the image of God. Another thing, again, trying to imagine these prophets and what kind of people they were like, I am tempted, have been tempted to think, oh, you're just upset because you didn't get a date for the prom in high school, and now you're chronically angry at people, and you have to spoil fun. Actually, I think of someone from my own high school who he had his own issues, and always had something negative to say and criticized everything and everyone. And yes, you're number two in your class, you're very smart, and nobody likes you because you are so unpleasant. Not because you're always right, it's because you are unpleasant. It's easy to dismiss someone in that light. So was Amos fun in high school? I'm going to suggest that he might have actually been fun. He might have been a really good guy. You wouldn't mind having a dinner party with him, that kind of thing. Amos is often presented as an outsider, that outsider speaking out against corruption, against injustice, against the wrongdoing that he has seen. He is seen, again, like I said, that outsider. And some make a great big production of his outsider status. But what these are some clues that we have from Scripture. He says, I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet. I'm from Tekoa, about 10 miles south of Jerusalem. And that would be a significant walk to even go to the big city of Jerusalem. But really, he's just saying, I'm not part of the religious establishment. I'm not part of the Jerusalem crowd. When he speaks of his work and the term used, it's in another place in Scripture, it's used of someone who is in charge of a great deal of livestock and workers. It could be, and one right commentator suggests, that Amos actually could have been a man of affairs, a self-made businessman, maybe, you know, not the business that I got from Daddy, but one that he did himself. And no, I'm not part of that formal establishment in Jerusalem. In a way, someone might say, well, I'm not from Dallas and part of the Commerce Club in Dallas. But I am. I'm a big deal in Tyler, or I run a small business. Maybe it's someone like that. And because he is a man of business, he can say, I know things are messed up. I know things are wrong in the system because I see it. I live it. I work with it. I hear those discussions in meetings and words said that should not be said. It could be that his status as a local community insider, gave him insights into where the people were off track. In Charlotte, there was a gentleman known as the conscience of the bank. Originally, NCNB, which became Nations Bank, which later became Bank of America. And he was known as the conscience of the bank. He was a very good businessman, which gave him the credibility to say things. Say, like, is this a good long-term investment? The short term, it looks good. But what are the long-term consequences? And he could say things, and Hugh McCall would listen, which is in itself a bit of a miracle. If you know what, grew up in Charlotte, you know what I'll be talking about. But he could say things. Maybe something that somebody further down the food chain of the bank could not say, and would raise questions, and may not always got people thinking and talking. Are we banking for the long term? Maybe Amos was a bit like that. That gentleman, Miss Martin was his last name, Joe Martin, might have been a bit of a prophetic voice for the bank. And then we have Micah. His name means who is like God, closely related to the name Michael. And he spoke at a time when Hosea was preaching to the northern kingdom of Israel, and Isaiah was speaking to those in Jerusalem, that Micah spoke to the people, kind of the common folk in Judah. A good reminder that regardless, the Lord has somebody speaking in whatever setting. And he called out against corruption and taking advantage of those in need. He called for fair play in dealings. He called people to these basics, to do justice, love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. To do justice, how they act. Simply do act fairly, act with integrity. This should be the direction of your actions. To love mercy, an attitude or direction of the heart and mind. Love mercy, let that inform your spirit. And walk humbly should be the focus of your life, the direction of your life. So what can we draw from that? First, we see that God cares about how we treat people who cannot do anything for us. Do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with God. Amos is painfully clear of the direction the people are going, that this is not a case of irreligious identity. Some of the prophets, when they speak about, you're worshiping Baal, and basically because you don't have the vertical right, your horizontal with people is not right. You've got something else in the way. He's basically saying what you're doing is wrong. That they are disconnected for how they conduct business and treat people. Faith shows up in the way that we treat people who cannot do anything for us. The classic is told how somebody treats the wait staff. Often the classic goal for young lady, you're out on a date. Watch how your date treats those serving in the restaurant. I remember someone in a conversation said that my spouse and I were having Sunday lunch with a couple. And the other couple, the husband, talked about how our church needed to be more inclusive of people. Okay, sounds good. And then I watched how he treated the waiter. Like, why don't we just, let's be a more inclusive church and let's treat the waiters and wait staff with dignity and respect. It shows how we conduct business with someone who has less power. And again, I think back in my seminary days, there was this gentleman would come in and, would speak to the faculty and kind of had a social justice edge to him. And I remember, my work was in the development office. I would pick him up at the airport. And I remember getting the keys to the car because I got to drive a nice car to the airport. People say, I can't believe a seminarian has a car like this. I don't. But anyway, we're driving to the car, driving, and I remember one of the administrative staff saying, oh gosh, she's coming. Because at the last minute, he would make all kinds of demands, and I need these papers now. Why didn't you not tell me a week in advance, and I could have had everything here ready for you? But he expected to show up and expected the administrative staff to have everything ready for him so he could talk about liberating people around the world. Cautionary tale there. Or think of the person who sees another individual making a mistake as opposed to saying, hey, oops, look out, or let's fix this. Says, how can I use it against that individual? It's God cares how we treat people. And there's also a cautionary tale here of compromises. Compromises that can become a way of life. In Amos 2, he catalogs a list of sins. Just some of the ones that are said here. You've rejected the law of God, not kept his statutes, have been led astray by the same laws as those of your ancestors. You sell the righteous for silver, the needy for a pair of sandals. You trample the head of the poor into the dust of the earth. You push the afflicted out of the way. You take advantage of those. You're doing wrong. This is not a descent into some sort of depravity as much as these are just ways you are dealing with others that are not good. Some might say, well, that's just how business works. That's how things work in this town. I'm not really hurting anyone, am I? Who will know? Thinking of that, rehearsing this morning, practicing this morning, I thought of the song Slow Fade by Casting Crowns. There's a very powerful video that goes with it. But here are some of the lyrics. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. It's the second glance that ties your hands as darkness pulls the strings. Be careful, little feet, where you go, for it's little feet behind you that are sure to follow. It's a slow fade when you give yourself away, when black and white have turned to gray. Thoughts invade, choices are made, a price will be paid when you give yourself away. People never crumble in a day. It's a slow fade. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. When flattery leads to compromise and the end is always near. Be careful, little lips, what you say. For empty words and promises lead broken hearts astray. It's a slow fade when you give yourself away. If Amos was a man of affairs, a man of business, then he would understand commerce and the markets, agriculture, buying and selling. And so his criticism is not from someone who does not understand the real world. It's someone who says, I know how the real world works. And I know that doesn't make everything in the world right. Or to play off on high school, think of him as the football letterman who says, I know how to play a good game of football. And I know when someone's playing dirty. When actually the coach is teaching them to play dirty. I know the difference. How we treat others, and the caution of the small compromises. And finally, God calls us to bring into our ordinary lives, to bring them under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Amos is not a priest. He's not operating in the religious establishment. Amos is a working man, called by God. Micah does not say, become a priest. Spend your time doing religious things. He says, do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with God. In other words, God is interested in the life that you are living, your workplace, is part of your discipleship. Your checkbook, and we all here, we know about checkbooks, that's part of your discipleship. Your relationships are part of your discipleship. Your dealings with difficult people, that's part of your discipleship. The power and influence that you have, that is part of your discipleship. So what does it look like to walk humbly with God in the ordinary life that you have? It's not a case of being, quote unquote, more religious. The question comes, how does following God change the way that you conduct the life that you've been given? Jesus spoke about the inconsistency in behavior of the priests too when it comes to their tithing of even the mints and these spices were so meticulous, and yet so many major issues are going around you and you're forgetting them. Or even saying, oh, I have set aside my assets to the Lord. They're dedicated to the Lord. I can't use them in any other way as an excuse not to provide for aging parents, which was never the intent of setting these things aside. Or even the famous story of the talents. One, you know, these three servants or slaves are given something as the master leaves. One's given a lot, kind of a medium and small. And the one who's given a lot does a lot. The one who's given medium gets a good return. The one who does little does nothing. Is given little, does nothing. What did you do with what I had? Everyday life. How we treat people, a caution to watch the compromises, and a call to bring God into the ordinary life. Michael tells us what God wants. Do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with God. Amos shows us what happens when we don't do it, the wrongdoings that he saw. And Jesus ultimately shows us what it looks like to do it. So was Amos fun in high school? He could have been. Was Micah a likable guy that you'd want at your lunchroom table? It could be. And because they were part of the group, they could call it like it was and knew what was what. These people who challenge us to take a higher road, these words that challenge us to look at our everyday lives and call us to treat people how we treat, or caution us how we treat people, warn us of compromises, calls us to make Jesus Lord of our 9-to-5, come from people who live regular 9-to-5 lives. Micah tells us what God wants. Amos shows us what happens when we don't do it. Jesus ultimately shows us how that looks like to do it. And in Jesus Christ, he will work in us to bring all to his glory. Amen. Let us now stand and affirm our faith.